We begin anew. Rabbi Yisai, we begin anew. Parsha Shemos. Parsha Shemos, Rabbi Yisai. Shhh. Parsha Shemos, a new chumash. A new chumash. I don't know. I like to sound fancy. Sounds like, you know, like European. Talk with an accent. Talk with an accent. As long as you sound different. As long as you're different, then you become elite. Okay, Parsha Shemos V'Ela Shemos B'nei Yisrael Habo'im Mitzrayim. Rashi asks the obvious question, why does the Pasuk have to count the Jewish people all over again? Did we not count them already in the end of Parshas, the middle of Parshas Vayigash? V'Ela Shemos, we go through a few psukim enumerating the Shvatim. Rashi says, Afal pi shemin sheminon b'chayehem b'shmosam. Chazar umi noam b'misasan. Laudia chibasan, their love, shenim shlu likoichav, that Hashem has endearment, Hashem loves Klal Yisrael. So in other words, the first question over here is, in Parashas Vayigash, when Yaakov Avinu begins to come down, when Yaakov Avinu comes down to Mitzrayim, what does it say in the Pasuk? It says, give me one second, Ve'ele Shemois Vayigash on page 135 in the Chumash V'Yabba Ve'ele Shemois B'nei Yisrael Haboy Mitzrayma Yaakov Uvanov. And then we begin the long list, the 70 souls Bechor Yaakov Reuven. And here Nachamal Ve'ele Shemois B'nei Yisrael Haboy Mitzrayma Eis Yaakov Ish of Esau Bahu. And we enumerate all the Shvatim. So the question is, why do we have to repeat the same thing again when we already learned this in Parashas Vayigash? So Rashi says, you're right, there's nothing new being taught over here. It's just that Hashem wants to show how much He cherishes the Jewish people. Like you find Hashem says to Moshe, 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 Yaakov, Yaakov, Avraham, Avraham. Repetition indicates chavivus, indicates something is precious. Therefore, we're repeating it twice. Rashi also does it a very interesting point. And he says that in Chumash Barash Vayigash, it's being written from the perspective of they're still alive. The events are unfolding. They're alive. And now they're coming down to Mitzrayim. Here, it's in hindsight. Whatever happened in Egypt is long over. It's a record. They have left this world long, long ago. Yitzias Mitzrayim happened long ago. It's just a record of what happened in the past. And that speaks volumes. This very first Rashi over here, before I go, just, I want to say another idea, but before we just let's focus on this idea. There are two ideas I want to bring out here. Number one is, Chumash Bereishis is not a Chumash of a record. It's being written as it happens. You basically have to put yourself in a time machine when you go to Chumash. Rashi here is teaching us when you go into Chumash Bereishis Bara Elokim Eis Hashem Ve'Eis Haaretz, put yourself in a time machine and make believe you're there. You're there. You're actually there. You're living through the events. You're watching the events unfold. You're a participant in life.
In the present tense?
Present tense. Well, I mean, there are things in the present tense. I don't know. There are things in all different tenses. But Rashi is saying, B'derech Klal.
It's following a narrative.
B'derech Klal, even if it's written in the past tense, B'derech Klal, the way you have to relate to Chumash Bereishis is, make believe you're there. What does it say, Chazal says that when it comes to the night of Pesach, you have to make believe, Ki'ilu Yotza, Yimamish, you're going out of Mitzrayim. In Chumash, the entire Chumash Bereishis, from beginning to end, has to be from that perspective, and that's why it counts them. The Elish Mos Bnei Yisrael Habu Imitzrayim Yaakov Ivanov Bim Bichayehen in their lifetimes. In their lifetime, they died long ago, thousands of years ago. Here, it's we repeat it Bim Misasam in their death. What do you mean they're dead? They're just as alive here as they're alive there, or they're just as not alive here as they're not alive over there. It's a matter of perspective. It's a where do you put yourself? Chumash Bereishis is you're living through Chumash Bereishis. Chumash Shemos, the first words of this Rashi, are teaching you what perspective you should put yourself in. It's history. Now, it's not history, which is not relevant, but obviously every single word is Kodesh Kodashim. You have these lessons of what to learn. But it's a different perspective. We're looking back, this is what happened, and what can we now learn? What are the lessons to learn? Maybe there's an advantage of looking back in the past, because when you have the whole picture, you can appreciate much more the Hashgacha Pratis as things happened. When things are happening in the present, you don't know what's coming next. You don't have the big picture. For example, B'tochen. What is the holiness of having bitachon in Hashem? So, you know, you come to the train station, and as you come, oh, I missed the train. Right? I come and I just missed the doors of the Q train. As I got there, it closed and they pulled away. So, oh, it was bashert to miss the train, because if I got on this train, then this would have happened and that would have happened, and who knows, I could have been, who knows, my whole life would have been over. So therefore it was bashert when I come to the train that I should just miss the train. If you're going to live like that, I guarantee you, you're going to go out of your mind. You're going to lose your marbles very, very quickly. When you live life in the present, you don't think. It is what it is. It is what it is.
Is Betachin also that I have Betachin that another train's going to come?
No, not. Betachin is a very broad, topic.
Happens.
When you live, when you go to the train, if the train doesn't come, it didn't come, I missed the train. Chaval. I missed the train. Oh, you want to tell me Hashkocha? Yeah. Tomorrow, or maybe next week, or maybe next year, then when you're free time, you can think back. Let me see in hindsight. What would have been if I made that train? Oh, things would have been different. I can now appreciate the Hashkocha Pratis. While you go through life in the present, you just live. Whatever Hashem, this is what it is. Don't try to connect the dots, because the dots have not yet appeared. You don't know what the dots are. You have no right to go start making a cheshbonus and start. You just live a regular life. Whatever. You just go straight. You go further. This idea of the hashkocha pratis is all fine and good in hindsight. If you try in every single piece, some people they're like this. They drive me crazy. You know, everything that happens, they right away they have to understand the whole picture. Why did I get for lunch pizza and not corned beef sandwich? But you have to understand the big picture. You're crazy. You're going to lose your mind. It is what it is. You want to go look back tomorrow, the next day, and appreciate what happened. That's where you have to be a maimon in the hashkacha practice. But in the present, he goes forward. Therefore, when you're learning Chumash Bereishis, if you're going forward, it's a different perspective. When you read the psukim, you dash in the psukim, don't try to look at the pasuk to interpret the pasuk, understand the pasuk in the big picture of things. Look at the pasuk in the present. How do you deal with something in the present is very, very different than when you read history and you already know what's coming at the end, and now you look back at an early event in life, an early event in history, you have a whole different approach, a whole different appreciation. These few words of Rashi is a massive, massive eye-opener in how we are being directed to study the psukim in Chumash. In Chumash Bereishis, the primary focus is just take it in. Take it in what it says. In Chumash Shemos, it's not just to take it in, it's to see the big picture. Because Chumash Shemos, Rashi is telling us, is written in hindsight. Chumash Bereishis is written as you're going through it. We know what's coming later on, so we're able to go also look at it from hindsight, but that's not the focus. That's not the focus, and it has a different approach to translating a pasuk, to interpreting a pasuk when you're going in that direction. The second point I want to make here is, the pasukim are not the same. They're not exactly the same. In Parashas, so it says, Ve'elesh, most b'nei Yisrael ha'boi mitzrayma, Yaakov uvanov. That's all it says. No, it doesn't say the bow. Haboy Mitzrayim, Yaakov Uvanov, Bechor Yaakov Ruvain.
Ve'el Shemos is still in the present tense of the language. Haboy Mitzrayim.
Oh, so he talks about, they all talk about the grammar. They say not to be mocked on the grammar. They mention the grammar part. But it's interesting. Rashi says, oh, we already counted them. But the way the positive describes is counting is different. In Parashat Vayigash, it says, Ele Haboy Mitzrayim, Yaakov Uvanov. In Shemos it says Haboim Mitzrayim, Eis Yaakov Uvanov. What's Eis? And then it says Eis Yaakov Ish Ubeiso Bohu. The way the introductory pasuk to the Shemos is not the same in Chumash, in Vayigash, and in Shemos. So my high, what's going on? I think the answer is very simple. What is the better relationship between a father and a son? Eis Yaakov or the Shemos Bnei Yisrael Haboim Mitzrayim Ace. First of all, what does it mean, Ace? What does that word mean, Ace? So the Targum tells us it means Im. Da'alu L'Mitzrayim Im Yaakov Ubanav. In Vayigash, it doesn't say the word Ace. Haboim Mitzrayim Yaakov Ve'Ela Shemos Bnei Yisrael Haboim Mitzrayim Yaakov Ubanav. We don't have the word Ace. The word Ace is not there. Ace has a connotation that there's a relative to the absence of the word Ace, there's a gap. There's a generation gap. Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, and his children came to Mitzrayim. They came together. They came together. We're on the same page. We're on the same page. We have the same Ashkaf, but it does not. But the fact that you hear the word Ace means we came with you. But we're not 100% with you. When you omit the word Ace, the Eila Shemos Bnei Yisrael Haboim Mitzrayim Yaakov Ubanav, they're together. When you leave out the word Ace, it has a connotation, when you're comparing one to the other, that there is a stronger bond between Yaakov and his children. So what's the difference? Why is this one word such a major difference? And then there are other words also, but let's not even go into this for now. Parshas Vayigash was the plan. Parshas Shemos, unfortunately, is the reality, what happened. When they went down to Mitzrayim, the plan was, listen, there's a famine. The famine's going to be for another 5 years. We're only going to be here for 5 years, and that's it, we're out. That's it. It's just a temporary state to be here, and we have nothing to worry about. Our father, Yaakov Avinu, he's going, the influence, the Kedusha of Yaakov Avinu is going to prevent us from being nichshol in any type of Avera, being influenced after the good life of Egypt, after the Hashkafa. It's Yaakov Ubanav. That was the plan. Why then was there Golos? Where then did they go wrong? Why then did they get trapped there? Did they fall? They fall to the 49 levels of Tumah. They went down from a Madrega of Yaakov Avinu, and they were there for 210 years. And Chazal say if they would have stayed there even for one more second, they would have descended to such a low level of contamination, of impurity, that they would not have been deserving for Hashem to redeem them. How did that happen? How did they go from such a high level all the way down to nothing? The answer is because when they actually came down, even though they had a good plans, good intentions, there was already a crack. There was already a curiosity. Ooh, coming to Egypt. What do they have to offer? Maybe they have something good on television? Maybe they have some good food? Some good culture? There's something, some good entertainment? Some good enjoyment? They're already, Yaakov, what are you doing? Kollel, Torah, Avoda. There was already a crack. The plan was in Parshas Vayigash, they're actually descending b'chayehem. It's unfolding. We're now going down to Egypt. Yaakov Avinu calls his children. Children, we're going to a very dangerous place. It's the Ervas Haaretz. It's the worst place in the world, the most contaminated part of the world. It's Las Vegas. It's the Ervas Haaretz. It's the Ervas Haaretz. Watch out. And they all said, yes, 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 we're all with you. We're going to construct barriers. We're going to go to Goshen. We're going to have a kollel. We're going to live in our own world. We're going to be holy, holy people. Yaakov Ubanav. But as they started, they got onto the plane, and as they came out into the beautiful airport, and they saw the advertisements, already it became Ace Yaakov. It was no longer Yaakov Ubanav. It was, we're with you, Yaakov. We're with you. We're holding on to you. But we're looking around. We're taking in the view. Oh, there's already a crack. Now we understand why we have over here a whole Chumash of Chumash Shemos. So it's necessary for them to be counted twice, because there was plan A. But unfortunately, life does not go according to plan. We all know that to be a fact of life. Life does not always work out the way we expect. And there are consequences when things don't work out 100%. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's touch upon where... Let's talk about in Yoni Mominus. Here, just a few... I'll give you three. There's three examples. This parasha, we have this parasha three different examples of how from three different mafarshim of how the Torah is makbid, how careful we have to be in our monetary inyanim, in dealing business, honesty, integrity, to be naki from any suspicion in our business dealings. It says here in the pasuk when the Klal Yisrael they developed, it says Vnei Yisrael paru vayishritzu vayirbu vayatzmu bimeoid meoid. Okay, what does it mean bimeoid meoid? Why is there a beis bimeoid? Should it not say vayatzmu meoid meoid? In fact, where does it say the word meoid meoid? It says that by Eretz Yisrael toiva haaretz meoid meoid. Why is there a beis bimeoid meoid? So the Farshim answers. I saw this in the Chassidish Sefer. It says because the word Ma'oid sometimes means very much, but the word Ma'oid also means wealth.
Right.
Where do we find that it means wealth? We say this every single day. Every single day, all of your wealth. You have to ask Hashem b'chol levavcha, all of your heart b'chol nafshecha, afilu nitlas nishmascha, uv'chol me'oidecha, all of your wealth. If the pasuk would have said that they increased me'oid me'oid, it would mean very, very much. But the fact that it says be me'oid me'oid means they became financially successful. Vayirbu paru vayishritzu, they multiplied, they became extremely abundant. Paru vayirbu vayirbu vayatzmu bime'oid in wealth. They built for themselves multi-million dollar homes. And that's the problem. When their wealth became nicker. This thing is making noise, I apologize for making it vibrate. When their wealth became apparent.
Obvious.
The Egyptians got jealous. And what happened? Vayaka melech chadash al mitzrayim asher lo yodas yosef, he made himself like he did not know. All the problems of Golus begin when, unfortunately, the wealth, like we just learned, v'dizahof, vayiru vayatzmu bimeoid meod, in wealth. And then, vatimole haaretz oisam, what does it mean to go further? The wealth was all over the country. Who owns this building? The Jews. Who owns this building? The Jews. Who owns this? The Jews. That fancy mansion, multi-million houses, the Jews? Vayaka melech chodosh al mitzvah shalom yodas. That's where all the problems begin. So this is a very powerful Musa. This is a very, very powerful Musa Haskell that we should be extremely careful. If a person is blessed with success, hatsneya leches im elokecha. There is no mitzvah to flaunt your wealth, display your wealth in front of non-Jews. It really awakens them, it really arouses them, and brings out the worst in them. Another idea that begins in the Mamonis, Moshe Rabbeinu.
I just want to say, I worked in the Bronx. It was in a school, all black Spanish people. They know everything we do. They see it all. They know it all. And I don't know. The problem is, there are a lot of people who are very wealthy, and they do give a lot to tzedakah. It's not where wealthy people don't support tzedakah. It's a very, very confused behavior.
Don't flaunt your wealth. Don't flaunt your wealth. It should be hatsneya leches im elokecha. Okay, let's go to another idea. Yeah, I know. You're the most important person here. You're the one who brought everyone in. You brought in almost half the people in this year.
I came late.
You realize that?
6 months.
No, you recruited. You are the number one recruiter. The whole share is good part of your credit. Okay, Rabbi, I still play just some a little decorum. Please, Rabbi, please, decorum. Okay, let's go to another quick idea when it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was put in a Tevas Gemi. Tevas Gema, let's do the words of the Pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu was born by Tosem Boba, it's a Yeled. A teva made of reeds. Please. A tevas goimer made of reeds. Vatachma, she smeared bachim of azofes. Mefarshim asked the question, why the Gemara, I think it was a medrash, why did she put him in a teva made of goimer, made of reeds? She couldn't find something a little more expensive, a box, because Gomez is vulnerable to the force, to the water, so he could have drowned. Yes. If Moshe, there was a strong wind, or he came across a rock, it could have easily tipped, and he could have drowned. Wouldn't it have been better for her to put him in a box of wood, in something more robust, than put him in this little teeny tevas goyma? This is not my question, it's the question of the Chazal. And they say something very shocking. And they say, indeed, this was not the ideal thing what to do, but you have to understand who did this. This was done by Miriam and by her parents, and by his parents, Yocheved and Amram. They were very, I'm not saying the exact words, but they were honest people. They were hardworking people. Every penny they had was 100% was earned with Yosher. And therefore, money was very choshev to them. So it means either one of two things. It means they were very poor, because they did not take advantage of different unethical business practices. They didn't have anything else. All they could afford. The only thing they could afford is something very, very simple, because they were scrupulously honest. And that somehow affected their ability to earn a lot of money, and all of their parnasa was needed just for the basics, so they had very little left over in order to make for Moshe Rabbeinu a box. So it's all they could afford. Or what it means is, they were cheap. Why were they cheap? It goes Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, he risked his life to return for the Pachim Kitanim. Chazal said, because since every single penny came through such hard effort, that they should be honest, they should be with integrity. You don't just go waste money. If a box made of reeds is sufficient, 90% of the time, it's good enough. I'm not going to splurge, because the money that I have, I earn with a lot of sweat. Because since I'm so scrupulous in making sure every single penny is hard-earned money, it creates a different attitude in your life. It's hard to understand this idea, but Chazal say this. They say the words because they were so nizer by tzaddikim, their money is choviv aleihem, because they're not poishet yodam in gezel. They're not poishet yodam in gezel. Distractions are just off the charts here. I know. Because they're not, therefore, so it's an incredible thing. Moshe Rabbeinu, he was saved. Moshe Rabbeinu, the fact that he exists, that he was saved, that he survived, came about through an action of being Nizar in Gezel, the Moshion Shel Yisrael. His whole survival. But what was the zuchus? So it's a very interesting thing. Moshe Rabbeinu was sent off into this teva. What were the chances that someone would be there to intercept him? That Bas Par would come along and intercept him? It was an incredible hashkacha pratis that the moment when he was put into this box, someone came. Who are we not to say that part of the zuchus that contributed to the fact that he was saved and someone noticed and took him out of the water was the fact that effort went into the box that he was put in was an expression of integrity. Moshe Rabbeinu.
It might have been an expression of amuna that he was going to be saved, like Miriam watched to see.
That contributes. She had amuna, but part of the contributing details, which went into the fact that he was saved, was the fact that it was done with integrity. What would have been if Moshe Rabbeinu would have been put in a box that was made from, that was stolen? They stole a box. They stole a box somewhere and they put him in the box, they put him to the water. Would there be the same siyata d'shmaya that someone would find him? Oh, we don't know. No one knows. Who are we to say? But now in hindsight that we learn that the box that he was used was not ideal. It was not the right thing. It's not what they should have done. They should have done something more robust. But no, it was more important that the object that's going to be used to save Moshe Rabbeinu came from kosher money, does not come from money that was gained through illegal activity, unethical activity. It was gained through a kosher. That you cannot deny in hindsight is a contributing factor in this incredible hashgacha pratis that he was saved. Many times people have, they have questions, what should I do? Should I do this? Should I do that? And the money they're using to achieve their goals is coming from money that's gezel. So can you really expect that you're going to have siyat d'shmaya? Once I heard this, different gedolim, is that if money of a yeshiva gets money, every yeshiva needs money, okay? Every yeshiva is bankrupt. And the administrators always, mamish, maiz, b'chol yom, are presented with dilemmas. Someone is willing to give them money, and the administrators know the money they're getting, it's not 100% kosher. It's 95% kosher. There's a bit of an ethical conduct in how this money came about. You know, they fudge the numbers. You understand? I have to go tell you. Well, let's say
money like that in the world is pure.
You're right. It's true. You're saying very good. It's true. It's true. You're saying, but some money is purer than others. Some money is there are different levels.
Right.
You're not going to find anything. It's pure. But there are many madrigas. So what kind of money do you take? Where do you draw the line?
Right.
Where do you draw the line? And it's very interesting. Every institution has their set of rules. Okay? I'm not going to give you examples. It's tip my tongue certain. But every organization has its set of rules. Moshe Rabbeinu, so I was, do you really expect you have a yeshiva and the Rebbe is sitting away the whole day and is teaching them Torah, and Yiras Shamayim, and the electricity and the food they're feeding them and the chairs and the tables and all the things was purchased with gezel, with you ripped off the government, you went and you fudged the numbers and the government, they know you're being, they don't kill you, so what we do, we have bigger fish to catch or whatever. You really think you're going to have siyata d'shmaya that these children are going to develop to become yirei mushlemim? You have the best shabayim and the best that. You have to understand when the day is over, where are you? What's your base? And it's a big nisim because if I'm not going to get the money, where's the money going to come from? We'll shut down the yeshiva. We have in the sun. Is it really us? Is it not us? Or really, the whole world does it. Everyone does it. Can you say that it's us? Or where do you draw the line? This is a very big problem. Everyone struggles with these things today. Moshe Rabbeinu, he was in Sakana, he is the Moshian Shel Yisrael, he's in an Eis Sakana, he's going to die, they're going to kill him in one moment, they're putting him in a box, the box they're putting him is not the ideal box, there's a very high chance the box is going to tip over. No, if Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be saved, he has to be saved with money that is kosher l'mehadrin mina mehadrin. And the only way, the only money that we know is kosher l'mehadrin mina mehadrin, unfortunately, are these reeds. These reeds, and it's not stolen, it's not unethical, it's 100% kosher, it's not ideal, it's kedai. This is where the siyat, the shmai will come from.
Right? Is that right?
Why is it not right?
To say...
Put him in sakana? Put Moshe in sakana?
Yeah, to put him in sakana, but...
Good question. So it's a balance. So you have to say, al pi derech hateva.
That's the question.
Al pi derech hateva. Al pi derech hateva. Will he survive? Yes. Would a mother do this to their child? No. Right, probably not. But al pi derech hateva, will he survive? Yes.
Maybe because Miriam was standing there.
Right. Obviously there are contributing factors to make these decisions, but the bottom line is they went down the path of putting more faith in Hashem than relying upon nature, because it was important to them that the Moshian Shel Yisrael's roots, he be rooted in money that is 100% honest. How would we look today, Klal Yisrael, the Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Emes v'Torasa Shel Emes, the writing of on a scandal newspaper, scandalous report, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was saved in a box that was stolen. His whole existence came from, he put in the water, the box that he sailed out into, the box was stolen from this other person. Okay. So the whole Judaism is illegitimate. It's all based on the foundation of theft. Not theft, unethical conduct. And what's unethical? Well, it's ethical for most of the world, but for the Jewish people, just because we do it, although you have the same standards? How would that look for us today in Klal Yisrael? Moshe Emes v'Torah and Emes, the whole Torah Moshe, it's all built on the foundation of unethical conduct. The Shoresh of Moshe Rabbeinu is a Teva Shel Gimi. It's a joke to put a child. What mother today would put a child on the Teva Shel Gimi? That's Nerdik Musahaskam.
Well, Pashup Shad is enhance the nace. which you see by Moshe Rabbeinu
instead. You ain't saying
Chamal Hanes. No, but I'm saying by Moshe Rabbeinu, he hit the rock instead of.
We're not up to that. We're up to his entrance into the world scene. Entrance into the world scene is a 3-month-old baby here. A 3-month-old baby. They're putting him in a box. What are you putting him in? A gemi? The answer is, Amram and Yocheva knew what they were doing. This is the Moshion Shel Yisrael, and it has to be glat. Glat 100% is mamash techachas musa to the whole world today. The world today is, when it comes to everything else, everything is the bells and the whistles. Where's the money? Who paid for this? Who paid for this? Where's the money? Show me the money. What kind of biz? Who gave you this money? How did he earn the money? Is that the way you earn money, by ripping off other people? You steal from other people. You go and you play all these games, all the shtick, and yeah, the whole world does it. I got away with it. Okay, you got away with it. Good for you. But is it ethical? Do you really can go to sleep at night, not feeling you took advantage of someone? You swindled someone? It's a very powerful Libud Musar, and Baruch Hashem, we're very, very fortunate that Amram Yocheved, they did it the right way. No scandals. No newspapers coming and saying horrible things about where we come from. Okay, let's go to another idea. There's something else I want to end on, but we're not going to talk about. Let's go to another idea. We have the Bialdos. The Bialdos were told that they should kill all of the babies, all of the males. So what does it say in the pasuk? Vayikra melchem shem la'am yalda. It says in the pasuk, Vatirena hameyaladois esu lakim vayiloyosu kasher diba lehem melchem shem vatichayena es hayiladim. The pasuk goes out of its way to say, they feared Hashem. They expressed yirah shamayim. Unbelievable. The hallmark of Klal Yisrael. Pasuk says, Vatirena. That yirah shamayim. What was the reward for their expression of yirah shamayim? Rashi says, they bought him. What the bottom? The bottom are, bate levia, Ubate kahuna. What does it say in the next pasuk? Vayetev lekim lamelyaldos vayivam vayatzmu meod vayik vayhiki yoru hamelyaldos esu lekim vayaslechem batim pasuk of aleph. Rashi says batim bate kahuna ulevia umalchus shekruim batim. Okay, they were zeched the kahuna levia and malchus. I want to say another pshat, not a drush. In addition to Rashi, the Pshuta Shel Mikra, a drush, they were rewarded measure for measure in their own lifetimes with the birth of with Moshe. What about Moshe? Moshe developed very well. Parents always worry, they have a child, the child should be Yarish Shemayim. The child, Baruch Hashem, can be healthy, can be smart, and can be good looking. But what's important is that the child that they raise should be raised in the ways of Yiras Shamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu, right away, or later on, it took 80 years for this to happen. He grew up in the home of Paro, and then he had to run away. He was a fugitive, and he comes back, and Hashem appears to him by the snare. Vayomer Moshe, Moshe, Vayomer Hineni. But before we go further, Vayomer Al Tikrav Haloim Shal Nelok Mialar Lochi Amakom Hashem Otam Oimer Olav Advas Kodesh, and then it says Vayaster Moshe Ponov Ki Yorei Mehabit El Huelokim Yirah Shamayim. When Moshe Rabbeinu became aware that he was looking at the Shechina, he saw the snare Boyer, and it was not Ukal, and he was told Hashem spoke to him, this is the Shechina, Ki Yorei Mehabit El Huelokim. This, besides what Rashi says, this was the reward. They expressed Yirah Shamayim. Who is the mother of Moshe? He had three mothers. Moshe had three mothers. Basya, she raised him. Kol Hamagadl Yosan B'Sech Beso Kilu Yoldai. Had his biological mother, Yocheved. And Miriam was his mother. The only reason why he exists is because of Miriam. Amram divorced Yocheved, and he told the whole Klal Yisrael, listen to me, I'm the Gadol Hadar, there is a Gezerah called Habein HaYilad HaYaret HaShlichu, everyone must get divorced. Miriam said, Father, you're worse than Paro. Paro was only Goyzer Al HaZicham, you're Goyzer Al Nekevos. So Amram said to Miriam, you're right. And because of Miriam's influence, Amram took back Yochev, Vayelech Ish mi Beis Levi, Vaykach Espas Levi, Vatar Vatelidain, Vateru Oso Kitofu Vatitzpaneu. Moshe can directly attribute his existence to Miriam. Miriam is, to some degree, the source of his existence. So he has three mal, Basia, who was Megayer. She was Megayer. She went on that morning to it's amazing. All three mothers are incredible women. Okay, Yocheved. Yocheved, Miriam, and Basia. So, and who do we find explicitly? All three of them were the shlemos of Yirah Shemayim. Basia was the daughter of Paro, and she went lirchoitz al hayar. What does it say in Chazal? Why did she go that morning to lirchoitz al hayar? To cleanse herself from the filth of Mitzrayim. She saw the culture of Egypt is all phony. She knew better than anyone else. She grew up in the lap of luxury in the palace of Paro. She saw all the state dinners, what the culture was all about. She says, this is crazy. What kind of life is this? She went lirchoitz to throw it all away to become close to Hashem. Yirah Shemayim. She raised Moshe. Miriam, father, you're worse. And then what does it say about them? It says, Vayiru'u, Vayiru'u, and they both feared Hashem, Vatirena Hamiyaldois Esulokim, Veloyasu Kasher Diba Lemelech Mitzrayim Vatichayin Sayaladim. All three of Moshe's mothers express Yirah Shemayim. And what was the reward? When all three of your mothers don't come back until you bring your mother, your father, or one of your parents. What happens when all three of your mothers are Yireish Shemayim? Then the child becomes a Yireish Shemayim. Where do we see that Moshe was a Yireish Shemayim? 80 years old. He was afraid. Vayaster Moshe panav ki yorei mehabit el hu elokim. This is right from his mothers. And now we can also appreciate what it says in Parashas Bahaleischa. In Parashas Bahaleischa, Moshe Rabbeinu, Miriam spoke Lashon Hara on Moshe. And therefore she was smitten with tzaras. So the question is, you never spoke Lashon Hara before. So she spoke Lashon Hara. She said something. I have a whole parasha just for this. She had to get tzaras. Miriam had to get the whole klali trying to wait for her. Don't you think it's a little bit over the top? Okay, so she spoke Lashon Hara. Doesn't say that Miriam was from the people in the who never did an aveir. The only, how many people who never did an aveir? A whole of three people? Right. I remember Zachas three.
Yitzhak, Binyamin, and Yishai.
So everyone does a little aveir here and there. We have a whole parasha such a Hashem calls Aaron and Miriam, come, I want to speak to you. How dare you speak against Moshe? V'ish Moshe onav ma'od mikol od ma'ashel pnei ho'adama. This could fit into a medrash. Torah has to go and knock it into our heads that Miriam spoke Lashon Hara and she had saras and Moshe was mispalel and they had to wait 7 days. Does it not appear to be a little bit over the top? The answer is, how did Moshe come into existence? Well, let me take a step back. What was the reward for Moshe Rabbeinu Zira Shamayim? Moshe over here, he refused to look at the snes. What was the reward? Vayiru migeshes elof. That the people were afraid to look at when Moshe came down from Har Sinai, Moshe's face glowed with the Shechina, and Klal Yisrael were afraid to come near Moshe. Moshe had to put on a masveh. The Gemara says, were they afraid? How did Moshe deserve? He should merit such prestige, such holiness, that the people held them in awe to be afraid of him. It was midah k'neged midah. Moshe was the ultimate Yorei Shemayim, as seen in this pasuk, ki yorei mehabit el hu elokim, in reward, ki yorei mehabit el hu elokim, he was rewarded, vayiru'u migeshes elof. And who was the one that was not afraid of Moshe Rabbeinu? Miriam. Lama, what does it say in Parashat Behaloscha? Lama lo yoresa. Why were you not afraid to speak about Avdi Moshe? What does Hashem say? Let me find here. Vloichin Avdi Moshe here. Avdi Pisa Moshe. Umadua lo yeresem. Lidaber bi Avdi Moshe. Miriam, you're not afraid? You're not afraid of Moshe Rabbeinu. The whole Klal Yisrael is afraid of Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayiru migeshes elof. In reward for, he was afraid to look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you're not afraid? You, from everyone, should be more sensitive to being afraid of Moshe Rabbeinu, because the only reason why Moshe Rabbeinu is a Yorei Shamayim is because of you. You, Vatirena Hamiyaldois Eso Elokim, because you were Yorei Shamayim, Vatirena Hamiyaldois Eso Elokim V'loy Asu Kasher Diber Alei Melech Mitzrayim Vatichayene Es Hayelodim. That's why you were Zocha to have a brother. You were instrumental in the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the one who was, he was afraid to look at the Elokim. And the whole Klal Yisrael was afraid of Moshe Rabbeinu, and you from all people are not afraid, v'lo yireisem, to speak about Moshe Rabbeinu. How could that possibly be? We have no choice but to make an example of you for Klal Yisrael. If Stam Azoidil Lavera, who knows what you did? See, you forgot to make a bracha, or you didn't say the Bracha Samazim perfectly, you left that one word. Okay, Torah would never bother mentioning this to us. But this is something that is fundamental. This, how could you not speak? How are you talking such a thing? This is such a fundamental thing. When you're the Shoresh of Yiras Shamayim, and now you forgot what happened? You forgot the whole circle, how it all came about? That is very significant. When a person accomplishes a Yiras Shamayim, you have to stay with the program all the way through. But let's go to another idea. Now, I'll tell you this idea maybe let's do this first. Bas Yosha, she opens up the teva, and what does she see inside? She sees a yelet. A nahar vatere, she sees a nar boiche. Okay, let me find the pasuk. Pasuk vav. Vatiftach vatereu es a yelet v'hine nar boiche. Now, the Mepharshim, there's two questions, and I'll tell you two ve'etloch, what other Mepharshim say. Then I'll say a drush, but I want to try a drush a little bit different. Question, what does it mean that she saw? Vatir'ehu. It should say vatiftach, vatishma. And she heard a narboicha. You hear cries. You don't see someone cry. Vatiftach, vatir'ehu, esayelet, v'hine narboicha. It should say vatiftach, vatishma. Es hayeled boiche. We should emphasize that they was hearing the child cry, not seeing the child cry. Number two, why is he called a nar? He's a yeled. A nar is someone that's a bit older. Moshe at this point was only 3 months old. He was not a nar. Why here is he called a nar? So one answer the Mepharshim give is when it says that they saw Moshe was not crying, there was no sound. There was no sound. Moshe was quiet, but she saw from his facial expression he was in pain. He was in pain. Why? Because obviously, so Bas Paris says this is a Jew. Only a Jew knows how to cry inside. It's a very deep part of what this means. I think Rabbi Weinberg or Bernard Weinberg and Shemin Hatoif, the rabbi of the young Israel of Williamsburg.
Brooklyn.
I think he says this, that only a Jew knows to cry inside. What does that mean exactly? It means you go on with life. A person, Rachman Elton, has a problem. It doesn't affect you where you become dysfunctional. You become dysfunctional. I have a tzara. I cry inside. I cry to Hashem. But on the outside, I go further. I have courage. I have emunah. I'm able to go forward, and I work with the issue that I have without disturbing my life and other people's lives. Who can do such a thing? Only Bas Paros said miyaldei ho'ivrim zeh. A person to cry inside and only to see the cry b'mare, not to hear the cry. Only a Jew can do such a thing like this. Only a Jew has the emunah, has the faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where they can accept, they can deal with it, but they on the outside, they have the ability to go forward with courage, emunah, and go forward in life. That's one of them. Another part is when it says a nar boiche, it means he was an adult. Enoch inami. He didn't cry like a baby. he already had a degree of sophistication. And let me tell a little bit different. I mean, a nar normally does not cry. A nar is an adult. Adults don't cry easily. Adults generally don't cry. They become cold, they become hard. An adult to cry, that shows something, that shows a certain pnimius, a certain degree of spirituality where you're, there's more to life than just what you see. She saw a child that was on the level of a nar, of an adult, and yet was still crying. Such a creature who can be a mature adult and have the sensitivity to someone else, to someone else's pain, where they can cry, can only be miyaldei ho'ivrim zeh. Okay, so these are two verloch, two different in the verloch to explain why it says seeing and why it says the word na'ar, a na'ar boicha. I want to give a suggestion, another approach. When do you cry? You cry on an ace tzara, and you also cry at an ace simcha. At very, very happy moments, under a chuppah, or different life events of simcha, when a grandchild gets married, when a person self gets married, when a child gets married, it's a time of simcha. And what happens when you reach an extreme level of simcha? It's human nature to cry. What's the psychology behind that? I don't know. That's not for now. But there is a mitzias. Over here, Klal Yisrael was in a very great ace tzara. And yet, she sees a child, a nar, she sees what we, let's say, a nar, someone that's mature, is crying. Nar boicha doesn't go together. A baby cries, a yelet cries. A nar doesn't cry. The only time a nar cries is at a time of simcha, more or less. It's when a person is an adult, usually it's not, it's usually expected they keep the tears to themselves. Not always, but generally adults are instructed, hold back from crying. Don't demoralize the younger people. Cry privately. It's healthy to cry, but hold it back in. When do you tell an adult to cry? Go right ahead. Let all the tears roll down at a simcha. A chast under the chuppah. A chast under the chuppah. Halavai, you should cry. Halavai. No one's going to tell him, be a man. Be a man. Be strong. Don't cry. Okay, no one's going to tell a person when he's in the time of simcha, a grandfather watching his grandchild get married, you're not going to say him, don't cry, be an adult, be strong. When the family needs you to be strong in this and this massive, you're not going to see that. Adarabba, it's a time of simcha, taka cry. Because it's a time of simcha. When it's an esara, okay, it depends. A person has to cry, but then there are times when a person in an esara, I'm not sure I'm saying correctly, at the times in public, whatever it is, there are times that maybe there is a good argument not to cry. What did she see here? Bas Paro saw Moshe crying simcha, tears of simcha. If he is a nar and he's crying joy. How could he be joyous? How could Moshe Rabbeinu be joyous at a time when Klal Yisrael is being thrown into the Nile? When there's such an Eitzar. So I don't mean he's rejoicing, chas v'shalom, but it was he was optimistic. The tears were tears of optimism. When a person is happy, everything's great. Everything is good. What I'm saying is not correct, not 100% correct, but...
Well, it means like he can't believe he made it, except that he's 3 months old.
Okay, that's the problem. What's happening over here is, how could you be so optimistic? What I'm trying to say over here is, what was her reaction, Das Paro? It must be miyaldei ho'ivrim zeh. What triggered that? What triggered that is, it was a nar boicha, the optimism. Even in the worst matzav, the worst of the worst, such a degree of tsar, you can be optimistic, and you can be like a nar, an adult who is boicha tears of simcha, recognizing things are going to be good. Is that correct what I'm saying? Probably doesn't really make much sense. There's only one. Okay, there's one little point that I left out. That is that this the basket that he was put into, that he was put in was a chuppah. It says in the Medrash, it's a very famous Medrash, when his mother put him in the Nahal, she said, Chaval, I'm never going to see you get married. The wish that a parent has for a child is he should be healthy, intelligent, have parnasa, be a Yerush Shemayim, that's the first thing, and I should merit to see him get married. Chaval, I'm throwing him into the Nile, I'm not going to witness him get married. So therefore, what does it say in the Medrash? She made for him a chuppah. The basket that she made for him was designed like a miniature chuppah, under, like a chassan stands under the chuppah when he gets married. That was what she made for him. When Moshe Rabbeinu was in this basket, he was in a chuppah. He was in a chuppah, like as he was even getting married. He was a nar. Nar is a young man at the age of marriage. Boicha, what does a nar do in their chuppah when they go down the chuppah? They cry simcha. There's a future. They're optimistic that they're starting now a new life. You can be so optimistic that a mother can take her child and can put him into a basket of chuppah, and he can be a nar and boicha with all of the trimmings in such a terrible tzara. Only miyalde ho'evrimzin. Let me explain a little bit more. What I mean is, simply, this medrash means that when she put him in the chuppah, she was expressing grief. Chaval, chaval, chaval. I never witnessed to see him get married. He's now going to die. So let me live in the land of make-believe, land of fantasy. I'm going to make a chuppah. It's going to be as if he's getting married. I'm going to play with my mind what would have been. That's the simple interpretation. I don't think that's what it means. I think what it means is she's doing something to show I don't give up. It seems now that I'm putting him into the water, he's going to drown, he's going to die. I'm optimistic. I will one day merit to see this child get married, even though I'm throwing him into the water. And to show my optimism, to prove my optimism, how much I believe he will succeed, I'm going to make a chuppah. I'm going to put him in the chuppah. And all of this was taken in, the optimism was taken in by Bas Para. Now let me prove this to you. What do we say by a bris? Kishem shenichnas lebris ken yikones l'toira ulechupa ulemasim tovim. What are masim tovim? Many interpretations, but one of the means he has children. Ezer ma'asim tovim shel adam zeh habanim. Chazal say the person's ultimate ma'asim tovim is the children that he raises. So by the bris, what are you saying by the bris? I can't wait. The same way that this little baby had a bris mila, he should be zoicha to have a chuppah and have his own children, have his own family. Why are you mispalel this tefillah at the time when a baby is born? He has at least 18 years to go. Ben shmona esrei l'chuppah, 18 years in advance, you're already planning his wedding? I mean, think about it, it's ridiculous. 18 years to go, kishem b'shnichnas l'bris ken yikonis l'torah u'l'chuppah? U'l'masim tovim, where does it come from? You know what the answer is? It comes from Miriam. That's exactly what Miriam did to the Moshiach Shel Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was born. Vatere oisai ki toifu. Melamed, he was mohol. He was mohol. Nismale, Chazal say, what does it mean toifu? He already had a bris milah. They hid him for 3 months. Then what did she do? Kishem shenichnas lebris. He came out of my womb. Mohol. I should be zoicha to see his wedding.
He was married in Midian.
Okay, you're right, but she already was so. But you're right. So maybe what it means then, I'll give you. Okay, you're right, but still the optimism. Kishem shenichnas lebris ken yikones l'toru l'chuppah. She already planned his chuppah. She already planned this chuppah. She said she was mispal. She put this into Moshe Rabbeinu on the very, very first day. When we say this nusach on by every single bris, I don't think it's so far to say, wait, find me a makar for this. Why would you say this? Where do you find such a thing to say? Find me a source. I believe that the source comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. This medrash, this tevas goyme was the chuppah, and it wasn't a goyme, a tevas goyme of grief, despair. The kid's going to die in 10 seconds. Let me fantasize what it would have been like had I witnessed to see him get married. No, I want to express my faith that is going, he's going to survive, he's going to get married, I'm going to see it, and therefore I'm going to do a maisa to show my emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to make him a chuppah, put him in the chuppah before I put him down in the water down the Nile. Bas Par took this all in. Now I'll just give you an example. In yeshiva, we used to always joke around. I'll tell you now, it's not a joke. You mean this idea you may not like, which is okay. It's good. You should go home with some criticism. Halavai. It's that I told you that was a toss. I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean it like that. He suffered quite a bit. Okay, I didn't mean it like that. Hayilchud v'hayilchud. So the question is, and we used to joke in yeshiva. There are 2 days off from yeshiva, from English at least, December 25th and January 1st. Why are we off December 25th? That's the Yom HaLedah Shel Oisai Hoish, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And halacha Shulchan Aruch Nittel. You know, they learn at night. Nittel. The people, they don't learn at night. Mesechta Avodah Zarah. Halacha l'maaseh, are you allowed to do business with a guy on December 25th? Not so simple. They will attribute the success of their business to Ois HaIsh, right? There's a whole shaila. What are you allowed to do? What are you allowed to say? So what's January 1st? What's that all about?
The bris,
right?
8 days later.
8 days later, the bris. Bris, okay, what is that all about? The bris, obviously, you worried about the bris for Ois HaIsh? Come on, what do we care? What do we care? Yeah. So the truth is, January 1st, by the way, we also all know that it never happened on December 25th and January 1st, but yet it's symbolic. It's symbolic of his birth, the birth of Christianity, and it's symbolic of the circumcision, whatever that's worth. I don't know what that means. But you know, the truth is, think about it. Which of these 2 days for us is a day that we should focus on how it relates to us. So the average person would say December 25th, Sakonis Nefashas, the Koyach of Tumah came into this world. You know how much blood was spilled because of that person? Crusades, Inquisition, to some degree the Holocaust, the silence of the church, the participation. Okay, do you know how much blood was spilled because of this Koyach of Tumah? The bris couldn't care less. The bris. Who give a hoot about the bris? 8 days of 8 days of celebration, who cares about the bris? The truth is just the opposite. Why is this the opposite? It's our fault that this happened. How can I say that? If we would have been mispalel by his bris, he's a yid. This fellow, Yeshu, was a yid. He had a Rebbe. His Rebbe was Yeshu ben Prachia. He had the G'dayle Hador. You have any Hasoga, how great Yeshu ben Prachia was? The Gemara Sanhedrin? We read the Gemara. We read the Gemara, the whole sequence of Shmai Vavtalion. I forgot Hillel and Shammai. Shmai Vavtalion, Yeshu ben Prachia was the Rebbe. I don't remember all the details. Do you have any Hasoga who the Rebbe was? He learned by the greatest of the great. He was a Yid. He was a very holy Yid, this person. And what happened to him? He took a left turn. He took a left turn. He really made some big, big mistakes. And those big mistakes resulted in bigger mistakes in the whole sequence of events. What would have been if on the day of his bris, we all would have gotten together and said with Kavana, Kashem shnichnas lebris, ken yikones l'toira ulechupa ulemasim tovim. What would have been had we prayed for him the way we really should? We don't know. You know, you go to a bris, it always bothers me very, very much. You go to a bris today, and they have a bris, and then people just... And they do the bris, and people don't even... just everyone off to the race, off to the bagels and the cheese, and they say, Kishem, you know what kind of bracha you have an opportunity now? Everyone should be with kavana, to be mispalel, that this child shall grow up as a Yari Shemayim, lebris, letoira, ulechupa, ulemasim tovim. You know, many people today, not everyone makes it. Unfortunately, not everyone makes it to the finish line. If we would have known in advance that these people would have not have made it to the finish line, I guarantee you, way, way on in the beginning of their elementary school, things would have been done to make sure that they are on the right path and they do make it to the finish line. And people who do make it to the finish line, they have success, they'll tell you, I don't know why I deserve this. I have no idea why I have such a wonderful wife. I have such wonderful children. it's all luck. To me, it's like just it's beyond my belief. I didn't deserve this. I just happened to be in the right place, the right time, and things worked out. So why did it work out for you and it didn't work out for this person? No one knows. No one can say no one knows. But at least we can do the best that we can. At least if we were to know, we can intervene if we were to know. And the most simple preventive medicine is to be mispalel. To be mispalel, you have a child, you have to do everything you possibly can, the child should develop to become a Yerushalayim. Should become a Yerushalayim. And when is the first opportunity you have to tell the person to become a Yerushalayim? At the Bris Mila, you should be mispalel to Hashem, thank you for this child, and we'll mevakesh, k'shem sh'nichnas to Bris, we'll mevakesh, from you, the Rebbein Shalaylam, sh'tikones l'toyro u'l'chopo u'l'mastim tovim. If Klal Yisrael would have taken interest in the children of that generation, specifically in this individual who they call Yeshu, Hoshea, Yeshua, they would have taken interest. They would have said with more kavana, "Kishem shnichnas lebris, can you connect l'toyra ulechupa ulemasim tovim?" Maybe there would have been siyata d'shmaya that this fellow would not have turned out the way he did. So who is there to blame? We're to blame. Is things did not go well? The chinuch did not go well. Obviously, there were problems. Could we have done more? We don't know. No one can tell you if we would have done more, it would have been different. But we should have tried. Had we known, we certainly would have tried more. So if you think about it, the 2 days of the year, of December 25th, which is all the sakana, the big sakana, and the day which is even halacha, you know, nittel, and the koichos of tumah, but January 8th really is a day when we have to, January 1st is a day when you look at responsibility. This was the day, at least according to them, is when there was a Bris Mila. And when there's a Bris Mila, it was our opportunity of Klal Yisrael to get involved, at least to be mispalel, that things should turn out okay. And we didn't. Who's there to blame? We're going to just turn our heads and we're not to blame? What was Mashahoya Kvar Hoya? It's irrelevant. But what's relevant is the future. What's relevant is, look at the lessons to learn from Miriam and from Yocheved. They took this child, they didn't give up. We have the greatest hopes, aspirations for you despite the fact that you're going up against all odds. Here we're living in a churban called Habein, Hayiloid, Hayoret, Tashlichu. So what? We are investing in you every effort, every with spare no expense, and we're investing in you every possible koyach, and to show how much we believe this child, we're going to make for you a chuppah right now. Right now, a beautiful chuppah. We're going to put you in here. Miriam's going to watch. We know it's going to be survived. The only question is how it's going to happen. Kishem shenichnas lebris. You came into this world. Mohol. You came in the smala kolabayis oira. There's going to be future. Kainti konis l'toira u'l'chuppah. That's right. Ulamasim tovim, and because they put all of the faith in Moshe Rabbeinu, that's why he indeed became the Moshiach Shel Yisrael. And it can be anyone can be the Moshiach Shel Yisrael, as it says, Vayelech Ish Bibeis Vikachas Bas Levi. That's a very powerful lesson to invest in the future. To invest, and when you invest in the future, you give koyach to the investment in the future. All right, we're out of time. Have a wonderful day. Stay warm.